You're listening to SBS News.
Over 5 days, world leaders and scientists from more than 120 countries have gathered in Lisbon, Portugal, for the United Nations Oceans Conference. Scientists say anywhere from 50 to 80% of all life on the planet lives under the sea. Oceans also generate about half of all oxygen in the atmosphere and absorb a quarter of all carbon dioxide emissions. And while net zero emissions targets have been a big focus in tackling climate change, this UN summit aims to establish a similar agreement to protect the ocean. French President Emmanuel Macron addressed the conference, urging world leaders to make stronger commitments.
What we are trying to launch and the importance of this United Nations summit here, dear President and dear all, is to assess the steps forwards we have made in past months, thanks to our mobilisation, and set the agenda for the next months and weeks. And one must show that our commitment is total and global. Together, we must set ambitious goals for biodiversity, especially for oceans, like we did with the Paris Climate Agreement.
Mr. Macron is pushing for a global agreement to protect the oceans, modelled on the legally binding Paris Climate Accords. In August, negotiations on the UN Treaty for Marine Biodiversity beyond national jurisdiction will resume in New York. The pact is also known as the High Seas Treaty, which Mr. Macron says needs to include a mechanism that addresses ocean conservation and marine life sustainability.
It's also for this reason that we want to achieve this High Seas Treaty, to achieve a framework for marine life and oceans threatened by overfishing and pollution. We've been discussing that text for 7 years. It's now time to achieve it quickly.
The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations launched its report on the state of the world's fisheries and aquaculture at the Lisbon conference. And the United States Special Envoy for Climate, John Kerry, signals his country's commitment to tackling the ocean's decrease in pH levels caused by a rise of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
I'm proud to announce that the United States will join the International Alliance to combat ocean acidification, in addition to the many other things we intend to do to keep our promise to hit 1.5 degrees and have a reduction of up to 50 to 52% of emissions over the next 8 years.
Earlier this week, Australia's Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, attended the conference and received a warm welcome from officials. In a speech, she flagged a number of new so-called blue carbon projects to launch in Australia.
These projects will restore mangroves, salt marshes and seagrasses across our coasts, around our nation. They will help increase carbon sequestration, marine diversity, and mitigate against flooding.
Blue carbon is a term used to describe carbon captured by the world's ocean and coastal ecosystems. Ms. Plibersek says the 5 new blue carbon projects will include assistance for developing nations to safeguard the health of their oceans.
We'll also partner with our friends across the Pacific to support blue carbon projects, to share the latest blue carbon science and, of course, accounting. Under the new Australian government, the environment is back, front and centre.
And she signalled the new Albanese government's commitment to climate change.
The situation has never been more urgent. As previous speakers have said, up to 50% of our planet's coastal ecosystems have been lost over the last century. There's no such thing as a healthy environment or healthy oceans without action on climate change. And we absolutely can't tackle climate change without taking action on our oceans. Ambition is our only option.
But Greenpeace protesters in Portugal want action now. Activists outside the conference held signs showing sharks being killed by political inaction, with messages reading, "Strong Ocean Treaty Now." Greenpeace spokesperson Laura Meller, who was at the protest, explained the cause.
We are here to tell world leaders who are gathered here in Lisbon that they need to move from words to action. And while they are inside saying fine words about protecting the oceans are being destroyed and depleted on their watch.
It wasn't long until police officers pushed them away, as the protesters held placards in front of official conference signs. Jess Panagiris is the head of Clean Energy Transition at Greenpeace Australia Pacific. With protesters seeking fast action, Ms. Panagiris has told SBS News the significance of this conference.
Well, this is the last political moment before world leaders meet in August to discuss agreeing on a global oceans treaty. And so this is a really, really important moment. For too long, world leaders have been sort of all talk and no action on global ocean protection. And our oceans are really struggling, and this is a critical moment to lock in the ask of a 30% protection of the high seas.
Australia's five new blue carbon restoration projects total $9.5 million of investment. Greenpeace Australia Pacific has welcomed the commitment, though Ms. Panagiris says more needs to be done on climate change, as it's all interconnected.
We know we need to protect our intact ecosystems, whether they're on land or in sea, in order to act on climate change. So that's all very welcome. But there are pressing problems facing Australia's oceans, as well as the climate issues. So we see, for example, in Australia's premier kind of marine ecosystem, the Great Barrier Reef, protecting certain parts of it is very important. But we also need really strong action on climate change, because unfortunately we can't save our oceans if we're not at the same time taking the strongest possible action on climate.
While Labor has made strong environmental commitments on the global stage, they've also backed Western Australia's $16.5 billion offshore Scarborough gas project. Resources Minister Madeleine King says gas has an important role in transitioning to a decarbonised world. But it's estimated the Woodside Energy Project will release millions of tonnes of carbon in its lifetime. It would involve extracting gas from the seabed of the Scarborough gas fields off the northwest coast of WA, and would potentially pose a threat to oceans and marine habitats. And while the federal government has committed to a stronger 2030 target in achieving net zero emissions, Ms. Panagiris says protecting the oceans and climate can't be done alongside new fossil fuel projects.
I think it's fair to say that fossil fuel companies in Australia have been given far too much power for far too long to proceed with projects that we know will harm our climate. And there's a lot of momentum behind a lot of those projects. And I do think this is something that the new federal government is going to have to address.
Ariana Lucente, SBS News.